Chapter 7. A School for Gentlemen. And so, my education with Dr. Treves began. First, I learnt how to put on a shirt. This may sound easy, but with my bumpy back and bent arms, it took a lot of patience. It was hard to push my trembling hands through the sleeves and to open and close the little buttons. But I was very surprised when I looked in his mirror. For a deformed freak, I didn't look bad at all. The doctor stood behind me, smiling. "Mr. Merrick," he said, "you look like a fashionable gentleman." My next lesson was how to behave with people in a social situation. I learnt how to thank them, walk, sit, and stand. Dr. Treves showed me how to offer someone a drink or some food, and how to offer a chair to a lady. Dr. Treves didn't just want me to be normal, he wanted me to be distinguished. One day, the doctor said, "I want to teach you how to drink tea. This lesson isn't so easy, even for ordinary people."
"Where will we have tea?" I asked.
"At my home," Dr. Treves said, "on Wimpole Street." I was both happy and nervous to leave the hospital and visit the doctor's home. We went by horse and carriage, and I wore my best clothes. I wanted to take my hood, but the doctor wouldn't let me. We arrived at a row of clean white houses behind elegant metal gates. A servant opened the door and tried not to stare at my deformities as he took my coat. Then the doctor's wife greeted us politely. She was a nice lady, and she invited me to sit at the table. Their home was filled with colourful flowers and elegant old furniture. A painting of her hung on the wall.
"It's you," I said, pointing at the painting. "It's beautiful. You are beautiful."
Mrs. Treves' face turned red. "Thank you, Mr. Merrick," she said, pouring me a cup of tea. "How much sugar would you like?" I became confused and afraid that I had done something wrong. The doctor saw this and answered for me, "John will have 2 spoonfuls. Thank you, darling." "Welcome to our home," Treves said. He and his wife both raised their cups.
"Thank you for inviting me," I said.
I tried to drink from the small, elegant cup, but the hot tea burnt my tongue. My hand trembled and I spilled half the cup on my shirt and the other half on Mrs. Treves' dress. "Oh, dear," she said. Her husband rang a little bell and the servant entered with towels to clean up the mess. Mrs. Treves tried to dry her dress and the servant wiped my shirt. Everyone tried to be calm, but I could tell they were all nervous.
"What have I done?" I cried.
"It's okay, Mr. Merrick," Mrs. Treves said kindly. "Really, it's only a little spill."
On the way home, I said,
"I made a terrible mess today and I'm so embarrassed. I'll never be a normal person."
"No, John, you were wonderful," the doctor said. "Your manners are already better than many Englishmen. One day, the entire world will see that you are a refined gentleman." The doctor never abandoned me. The next day, he brought a man named William Taylor to meet me. Together, they carried a strange piece of furniture into my room. It had a metal frame and a big soft centre.
"Do you like it?" Treves asked.
"Yes," I said. "But what is it?"
The two men laughed. Treves said,
"It's an armchair. Chief Engineer Taylor built it."
"It's very nice," I said, trying to be polite. but it doesn't look like an ordinary chair.
That's because it's not an ordinary chair, Dr. Treves said. Mr. Taylor designed it just for you.
Taylor turned the chair around to show it to me.
Have a look, Mr. Merrick. The doctor explained that it is very dangerous for you to sleep lying down. You must sleep sitting up in order to breathe. I thought of how uncomfortable that must be, and I created this chair just for you. Now, for the first time in your life, you'll be able to sleep in a kind of bed without actually lying down.
Go ahead, John, Treves said. Try it.
I went and sat in the new chair. It was so comfortable that I almost fell asleep immediately.
It's marvellous, I said.
Dr. Treves and Mr. Taylor smiled at each other. Treves said,
Now you can finally get a good night's sleep.
Yes, I said, closing my eyes. And maybe now I can dream.
The next afternoon, I was enjoying my special new chair when there was a knock at the door.
Come in, I said.
A man with black hair and a brown hat walked in. He was shocked by my appearance, but he tried to hide it.
You must be Merrick, he said.
How do you do?
I said. These were the words the doctor taught me to greet someone. I put out my hand, but he didn't shake it. He sat down, although I had not asked him to sit.
Pleased to meet you, he said.
How can I help you?
I asked.
You don't have to help me, the man said. I'm here to help you. I'm from the hospital, and I've come to write down your story. I want to hear all about your life and how the doctors are treating you.
The man pulled out a pen and paper, and I told him my whole life story. The man wrote quickly and took many notes.
But what about the doctors? He said. Do they give you all kinds of tests?
Dr. Treves is wonderful, I said. He takes very good care of me.
And what about the nurses? He asked. Do they sometimes make you do things you don't want to?
Oh, no, I said. The nurses are very kind, particularly Nurse Hartley and Nurse Wellington.
I wanted the man to give a good report about the hospital staff. Suddenly, the door opened and Dr. Treves entered the room.
Hello, Doctor, I said. I just told this nice man all about you.
Who are you? Dr. Treves asked the man. The man stood up.
I was sent by the hospital to talk to Mr. Merrick.
No, you were not, Treves said. You're a liar.
Why are you calling me a liar?
The man said.
You certainly don't work for this hospital, Treves said. I've worked here a long time and I've never seen you before.
The man put his pen and paper back into his coat pocket.
Well, actually, he said, the truth is that I work for a newspaper.
A newspaper? Treves repeated furiously.
That's right, the man said. The Times. I'm a reporter, and your friend just gave me the story of a lifetime.
You've got no right to speak to my patient, Treves said.
The man smiled.
I've got to earn a living just like everybody else.
I'll tell the guards to arrest you, Treves cried.
Go ahead and arrest me, the man laughed. I don't care. It's worth it. I'll be rich. I'm the first reporter to have interviewed the scary elephant man.
Treves punched the man in the face, and the two men began to fight.
Stop fighting!
I shouted, but they didn't listen to me. They hit my desk and knocked over my special chair. My food tray crashed to the ground. Finally, Dr. Treves grabbed the man and pushed him through the door. He dragged him into the hallway and kicked him down the stairs.
Get out of this hospital, you charlatan! Treves shouted. Leave this poor man alone!
We don't want your dirty press!
But it was too late. The next day, the headline of a front-page article in The Times was, "The Times. Rumours are true. The London hospital is hiding a monster."